What up, heroes? This is James. Welcome to Restoring Heroes. HeroStuffBro.com. I got something quick to talk about. I really want to talk to you about something. Why is Andrew Tate gaining the hearts of your young men? Why is Andrew Tate gaining the hearts of Christian young men? It's because of stuff like this.
Islam fixes a lot of the problems that men are currently facing. Yeah. The problems we're discussing on this show, Islam fixes all of them, right? That's the first thing about Islam. And I'm not a Muslim, right? If I had to choose a religion, I would, because I live in an Orthodox Christian country, I go to the Orthodox Christian church. I donate $20,000 a month to the church in the country I live in. The church in Romania is very powerful, and I like having church friends. So I give them a lot of money, right? So I would guess I'm an Orthodox Christian. But if I had to bet on one religion as if I were betting on the stock market for the future, you have to bet on Islam. Because Muslims are intolerant. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully. Because if you're tolerant of everything, then you stand for nothing.
Yeah. Facts.
Christians are so tolerant now. You don't believe it. They have gay pastors that I'm not even anti-gay. But if the book says don't have, like, what do you believe in now?
You're right, yeah.
If you're tolerant of everything, you stand for nothing.
See, he's willing to say things that we should be saying as Christian men, as Christian fathers. What happened? What made Andrew Tate so popular is because there's a father hunger in this world. There's a father hunger. And because of their father hunger, there's a need for substitution. So if they don't substitute with hip hop music, we don't substitute it with baggy pants and tattoos on their face and all that stuff. They're substituted with semi machismo masculinity, quotation marks, machismo bravado. And they find men to teach them what the father should already be teaching them. See, he wins the heart of your children, of your teenagers, because you let them on their phone all the time and TikTok. He was the biggest person on TikTok for a long time. And I'm not even doing this video for clout. I just realized something. It comes in cycles. There's many Absalons. I've been reading this book. It's Good to Be a Man. I've been reading it with a friend. We've been going through it again. This is my third time going through this book, but it's a very good book. And I want to share something that I'm not sure if Dominic Tennant wrote it or Michael Foster wrote it, but I want to share something with you. Absalon, he was talking about Absalons and how the world, when chaos arises, it's easy for Absalons to come in. When there's disorder and dysfunction, it's easy for Absalons to come here and come in and steal the hearts of men, steal the hearts of men. And it says like this, read this, listen to me. Absalom was able to steal the kingdom from David by stealing the hearts of the men. He invested time in them, took interest in them, sided with them, defended them. Every age has its pharaohs who wants to destroy men and Absalons who wants to harness and use them. But Absalons are especially prevalent in times of disruption and disorder. They wait for a power vacuum created by weak, ineffectual patriarchs or fathers or men. Such is our time. The Absalons are many, and while that is cause for concern, God is pleased to rise up bold and godly patriarchs. The Absalons are many. This guy right here is just a new Absalon. He says things boldly. People look at him and they see what masculinity is, at least the outward facade. At least the outward facade of what masculinity is. They see that. Right? He's tough. He's a kickboxer. So they respect him for going through battle. He battle tested. He doesn't hem-haw with his words. He says what he means and he means what he say. Those are all masculine traits. But the problem is with Absalons is that with their message, because he said what he said was true, not about Islam taking over. What he says was true about the pastors not standing up against LGBT, QRSTUV people, right? Not standing up against that, not standing up against masks, not standing up against the jab, refusing just to stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, proclaim exactly what the Bible says. But he's saying the false religions are less tolerant. Why is that when we have the true and living God on our side, and the people in the Bible were not tolerant of blasphemy, was not tolerant of people, even in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira died because they lied. This is a New Testament, because they lied to Peter. But he's able to say these things and become the biggest platform, the biggest person on YouTube, biggest person on TikTok, biggest person on these social media, because he's willing to say things with confidence, with boldness, that we are, as Christians, are unwilling to say. Even though he does porn, he does all these other things he subscribes to, but people look up to him for some odd reason. Why? Because there's a father vacuum, a father hunger. Men, listen, man. There are people in your church right now looking for men to teach them, men to lead them, men to guide them, men to show them how it is to be a man. Show them that it's good to be a man. There are firefighters and SWAT and all these people in your church, lumberjacks, whoever are in your church that has this masculine energy that's being subdued, because all we want to do as a church is please the middle-aged soccer moms. That's all we want to do. Make sure that they don't clutch their pearls. That's all we want to do. But as we're doing that, these guys are running to him, running to Joe Rogan, running to these guys. Why? Because they're willing to tell the truth, even though it's serpent talk. And what I mean by serpent talk is that truth has lies all the way in it, but it resonates because everybody can see the nonsense, but we refuse to say it. Christian men refuse to talk about the nonsense. Everyone can see it though. Everyone can see the trans community going crazy and wilding out, but no pastor's willing to say anything about it. Everyone see the gay agenda coming into the church, but no, for some reason, no one's willing to say anything about it. Everyone can see the feminist agendas pouring into churches where now pastors are afraid of the women saying something and revolting or feeling offended or crying or something like that. So, but no one's saying anything, but these guys are. These guys are saying something. And because of the vacuum, that's there, he's able to present, he's able to grow, he's able to gain the hearts of your young man. He's able to gain the hearts of your young man. So we don't have to be afraid, right? Because God is pleased. This is God's pleasure. God is pleased to also raise up bold and godly patriarchs. Bold and godly patriarchs. There are men. There are men right now that are in your church, that are on YouTube, that are on Facebook, that are making groups, making things on Instagram, making aspires on TikTok. There are Christian men speaking boldly for the cause of Christ. There are. I know some personally. Battle Ready Disciples. I know some personally. Deaf and Defiance T-shirt Company. Look at that. Born Again Hooligans. I know them personally. They are standing for the cause of Christ. They are men. It's good to be a man. Doug is good to be a man. Michael Foster and Dominic Tennant. Douglas Wilson. Douglas Wilson. Heck, sometimes if you look at Matt Walsh, even though he's a Catholic, but he's doing something right when it comes to exposing the transgender community. They are co-belligerents. There are people fighting this war. Alfonso Rachel, that's been doing it for years, standing against on a political side, on the that side. They're men out here doing it. God is raising up men. Raising up men that see the walls of fatherness, the walls of husbandlessness, the walls of men being weak and mealy-mouthed, and every sermon has to have a die to death of 1,000 qualifications. And
I have gay friends, and my best friend was gay when I was old, so I'm not saying
But these guys like this, so I want you to listen to it.
Are intolerant, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully, because if you're tolerant of everything, then you stand for nothing.
Yeah. Facts.
Christians are so tolerant now, you don't believe it. They have gay pastors that I'm not even anti-gay, but if the book says don't have, like, what do you believe in now?
You're right.
If the book says, and this particular video is called Muslim Conversion, and this particular video has 2 million views on it. Over 2 million views of this Absalon telling everybody at the end of the day, Islam's gonna win out. The false religion's gonna win out against the Almighty God. He's gonna fail. This point blank period is gonna fail. But Islam can't beat God. Not the Almighty God. Come on now. Stop that. But he has 2 million people. He has convinced too many people, whether they agree or disagree, they watched this video and has been influenced. This Absalon, he said he's, because he lives in a Christian community or a Christian thing in Romania, he's a Christian because he needs to have Christian friends because they're very powerful. Come on, you don't believe, right? But he said something that some pastors aren't willing to talk about. He said something that some men ain't willing to talk about. If it's in the book, why are you denying it? If it's in the book, why are you mealy-mouth about it? See, men are attracted to strength. Men are attracted to battle-tested men. Men are attracted to men who will stand on their word, make big mistakes, make big bobs, but succeed big too. We are attracted to bravery. We do not follow weak men. We do not follow cowards into battle. I will not follow a coward into battle. But we don't have to worry about it, because God's raising up men like you and I that sees the problem and willing. I'm willing to rush in. Heard this quote today. I'm talking to my friend. I'm willing to rush in with a bucket of water into a fire than not do anything. I'm willing to rush in with a squirt gun at this fire than not do anything. I'm willing to rush in with my limited knowledge and what I know and what I came from and my struggles and my plight and the things I have not mastered yet. I'm willing to rush in because I believe if God is for me, who could be against me? I believe that we need godly, strong, biblical men, biblical literate men, godly, strong men in the home, being husbands, growing fruit, pruning trees, growing their families, leading their families, leading the church, being part of a local body. That's what we need to fight against this.
Yeah, right. If you're tolerant of everything, you stand for nothing. I can walk through London with a t-shirt saying Jesus is gay and nothing will happen to me. If I did the same thing with the Islamic prophet, I'd be dead before I got to the end of the street.
Boom.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Not that we have to be violent. Not that all that. Right? Not all that. Now, not that you have to be violent. I'm not causing for violence. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about, do you have the cojones? Do you have the fortitude? Are you brave enough? Are you like Nehemiah, who will build with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, with a spear in the other, with a gun, handgun in the other, building up the wall but protecting it also? That's the kind of man we need. And that's the kind of man I hope is a part of Restoring Heroes Project. And that's really all I had to say. It went a little longer than what I wanted to, but that's all I had to say today. Look, man, there's Absaloms out here still in the hearts of your children, still in the hearts of your young men. What are you going to do about it? I'm telling you, if you're willing to fight, you'll win. Oh, yeah, we will win. Because if God is for you, who can stand against you? We can't do nothing but conquer. And that's all I got to say about the heroes. Until next time, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong out there.